How do you handle the holidays? Now, wait a minute. Maybe you're going to say, hey, I'm Muslim. I don't have to deal with the holidays. And by the holidays, I mean Christmas, New Year's. But here's the thing. We live in a world where we're not the only ones here. And many times, many of us, many women are asking, you know, do I have to give gifts? Oh, I'm kind of feeling obligated. That work party. Oh, if I'm a revert, my family, you know, they're inviting me here. When we get invited, when we feel obligated to do things that we know are borderline against our religion or not aligned, or maybe you think they might be, and you wonder what's the big deal. Either way, we're going to tell you exactly how to handle the holidays. Let's go. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast, where I'm your host, coming to you every week, Mindful Muslim, talking about all the things that Muslim women deal with, helping our women go from just surviving the everyday life and grind, you know, just trying to get through our emotions, to thriving instead, having great life balance, great emotional mastery, you know, great relationship strength and knowing how to deal with that and feeling empowered and with things that are social too, like today. And it could be related to your family if you're a revert, or if you're not a revert and you just have to work in spaces where it's very festive and holiday-like, how do you handle the holidays? Well, we're going to be talking about that today. And not everyone has to deal with this, but you might actually have cousins, friends, children. Like if you're sending your kids to school, this is a really important thing because they're getting bombarded with the holiday stuff, whether it's like coloring papers or Christmas parties. We have to understand that we should all know how to handle those holidays so that when they come, it makes sense. Now, what's really important, first of all, is to just put as a disclaimer here that I'm not going to give any Islamic rulings, but I'm going to give you some really, really logical arguments as to why responding in a certain way is better. But you will see what I mean as soon as I get into it. Now, even though I've been through all that I have and I've done this for 20-something years with women, I want to say I'm grateful I've been tested with all these because now that I have, I understand exactly what it means to do it the right way and what it means to do it the wrong way. And I think what you're going to see, there's a couple of tips that I'm going to give you on what to do if you're stuck in the holidays with family or coworkers or friends or your kids are in the schools, and these are basic things that anyone can do. Now, the first one might seem obvious, but we do this kind of unknowingly. Don't compromise your beliefs. One of the biggest things that we do as Muslims is we have a big heart and we feel bad. We feel bad. Oh, I don't want her to think. I don't want them to feel. I don't want all of this. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that we're not obligated to that. That's an obligation we're putting on ourselves. We can say no nicely. We can let them know kindly without hurting people. And if people still feel hurt, even though you've done it nicely, kindly, within the boundaries of Islam, that is not your thing to deal with. Everybody is gonna, it's like someone invites me to, let's pretend it's not the holidays. Let's pretend it's like a party and there's haram alcohol, right? Somebody invites me there and I say no, and then they're hurt that I didn't go to their party. That's a them problem. I'm just gonna be quite honest. Islamically, I'm not allowed there. I have to care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks before them. Now, when it comes with Christmas, people often say, well, I'm not gonna participate in Christmas-like things. That's unlikely because I've been to all these types of things back when I didn't understand any of this, and it's pretty unlikely. And so I'll explain to you in a moment a bit more about that. Don't feel guilty that you love Islam and you want to do the right thing. What's going to happen is when you go to those things, you're going to end up feeling horrible about yourself. So you're so worried to make them feel bad, but you will make them feel good by going, a'udhu billah, and then you will make yourself feel bad. And know that things are going to get better. The more you do this, the more you let them know where your boundaries are in the sand, the less people are going to bother you to do things that make you feel uncomfortable or that you feel are not aligned with your deen. But the more you say yes, the more they're going to invite you. See, it's kind of like that catch-22. I'm just trying to be nice. But they're like, oh, that girl at the office? Oh, you know, my family member who just reverted to Islam, but now she's still okay with doing all the Christmas stuff. So that's cool. Let's just keep inviting her to everything. So at the end of the day, it's really, really important. And then just know that hardships are only for a time. Only for a time. This stuff is not going to last forever if you put the boundaries there, alhamdulillah, for yourself and for your family. So I want to just talk about a couple things that are really, really important for you to do. Number one, like I said, don't compromise your beliefs. Number two, surround yourself with practicing friends. Because at the end of the day, if you have other things to do and other places to go, you won't feel alone on, quote unquote, the holidays. I'm speaking also specifically to reverts. Now, when you're a revert first, you actually kind of leave the majority of people that you know, and it can feel alone and isolating. That is literally why we made Thrive Muslima Online. And I'm saying that without like trying to direct anyone there. I'm saying it sincerely because you can go to your local mosque, your local center, but if you're too shy for that, that could be a way, you know, when you have a sisterhood online to do that. But if not, my whole point is you have to have another space to go to. If you just remove everything that's haram and give yourself nothing halal to do instead, it's going to get to you, right? It's going to get to you. And at the end of the day, I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't talk about your problems with non-Muslims. I'm not saying you shouldn't interact with them. I'm just saying it's if you ask them for advice, if you ask them for help, if you keep going to them, you're going to find yourself in deeper and deeper issues and stress as you're trying to navigate people and situations and relationships that don't get you. You're going to keep causing yourself challenges, right? So, for example, if you go to a non-Muslim for advice, right, the advice may go against your belief, but in a moment of weakness, you might listen to it. Let me give you a perfect example. Let's pretend you get in a fight with your parents and they're upset because they, you know, you didn't go to some dinner with them with hijab. Like they're like, oh, we don't want you to come to dinner with hijab. You know, you embarrass us. There's a lot of born Muslim families and revert families that would have that conversation with their daughter. They're embarrassed and they're concerned what other people are going to think. And they ask you to please just take it off for the dinner and you don't want to. And, you know, you get into a big fight with them. And when you leave them, you need somebody to talk to. Right? The problem with non-Muslim advice, you call up your non-Muslim friend, is it's possible that they will think of a non-Muslim perspective, which is totally normal, right? Nothing wrong with that for them. They might say that your parents, you know, are making a big deal, but they might be right. You know, maybe you should listen to them. They could also instead tell you to get rid of your parents. Like, hey, you know what? If they're causing you stress, just whatever. Tell them to, you know, you don't have to put up with their stuff. Like, they're going to tell you either to disrespect your parents, maybe, because, like, they're going to feel like they violated you so you could violate them. It's just fair, you know, game. Or they might say, you know, they might be right. Take off your hijab. Let's pretend they give those arguments. I'm not saying every non-Muslim would. I'm just saying it's pretty common that they could. Then you're going to now have that and be upset with your parents more. You're going to leave that conversation more upset with your parents, more understanding that, yeah, maybe I should take off hijab. It seems hijab is causing me problems. Then the shaitan's going to come in. Now, let's take that same situation and let's do it with possible Muslim advice. On the flip side, if you have a practicing Muslim friend and you might talk to them, they might say, hey, you know what? That's a test. It's an ibtila. That's a struggle for you to deal with your parents. They might console you. They might remind you of your obligation to wear hijab and to keep going. They might console you that things are going to get better. Don't be sad. They might tell you that, you know, religion comes first. We don't do this to please people. They might remind you of an ayat of Quran or hadith from the sunnah. You know, a good Muslim sister, if you go to them instead, might have a healthy compromise or advice. The point is, at the end, they're going to encourage you to both keep your religion and be good to your parents. I'm not saying, again, that non-Muslims would like be bad to your parents. I'm saying there's a very different culture nowadays. You know, it's a very me culture as opposed to an Islamic version, which is very different. It's just the way society in the modern world is. And having trusted Muslim friends will help your journey with non-Muslim relatives and other problems in the future. Number three, I'm going to say, guys, there's going to be a level of patience that you have to have with these. And I'm going to get to, like, should I go to the party or not in a minute. There has to be a level of patience. You have to understand that sometimes you're going to feel drained. And it's hard to constantly feel like you're explaining yourself to people and defending yourself all the time. I get that. I do it all the time. But let me tell you this. It also is about how you do it. I do it. I look at it no longer as a burden. I look at it as an opportunity to talk to somebody about Islam. an opportunity to make somebody understand Islam. Allah is putting these beautiful opportunities your way. As soon as you keep looking at them as just like, oh, it was not an opportunity when my mom's like screaming at me about it. It is, though. Doesn't feel like it, but it is. Maybe your mom needs to understand. And she's not there yet. So you keep your patience. And I'll keep my patience. And it's hard to keep composure under stressful conversation. I get you. Unless you've practiced doing so outside of that situation. So don't try to practice patience only in big blowouts, guys. That'll be pretty unlikely. Practice it in times where it's a smaller thing. I lost my keys. Somebody cut me off on the road. Practice patience in smaller situations. It'll be easier. Number four, have a regular way that you calm yourself and center yourself when you feel stressed out about this stuff or offended from people. That's really, really important because everybody needs a way to de-stress. Sometimes people take a walk, they pray, the calming bath, whatever it is, breathing techniques. But I really, really suggest, and some things for calming yourself down, like let me just say them. Like I said, the deep breathing, I have a 5-second thing that I do where it's 5 seconds in, hold it 5 seconds, and 5 seconds out. Really hold it each of those times. You do that 5 times, you're going to want to take a nap. You're not going to feel angry anymore. I do this all the time. Say dhikr. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Certain things you need to memorize. If you don't have them, guys, put them on paper. Positive affirmations to yourself. I can do this. Allah is on my side. Allah knows how much I love Islam and I'm trying not to. Just keep talking to yourself. Change the space you're in. Like, you don't have to be, like, for example, if there's this place at work where everybody goes in the holidays and everybody sits and chats about like all the presents they're going to get for their families and what they're going to do because you live, you know, you're with non-Muslim coworkers. I usually skip those spaces in November and December because they're awkward. I just usually find something else to do. I stay in my office or I stay somewhere else because you're going to find the more you put yourself in the fire, the more you're going to get burned. You know, it's just harder to avoid it. So why do I keep testing myself? Just avoid those spaces for 2 months. Expect pushback, guys. Expect pushback and have a prepared response. That's like my fifth suggestion. It's hard to tell a family member that you just can't come for Christmas anymore because you're Muslim now. Or it's hard to tell a coworker that you don't do that because in your religion, I get it. But expect pushback. Don't come at it like you think they're going to just be like, oh, okay. Expect it. First, expect the response. It's totally normal. Two, have a prepared answer and just keep repeating it. Don't explain yourself because that'll be awkward. Just keep going, yeah, I know, but it's not something we do. No, I totally get it. We just don't do that. No, like literally repeat yourself. Third, don't expect that they're going to accept your explanation and that's okay. Understanding may take some time and patience. And like I said, after a while, they're going to stop bothering you. But if you keep being wishy-washy or you show on your face that you are conflicted, people can usually pick up on that and they'll just keep asking you. Number four, have a pre-planned compromise to offer. I do this all the time. This really helps. If you can't meet with your family for the holidays, create a new holiday or a new family event that they can look forward to. For example, with reverts, for example, they struggle because their parents want them to be there at Christmas and they're not supposed to be. And let me tell you, reverts, if you have kids, why especially? It's confusing for your kids. You just told them that we just don't celebrate these things and then you bring them to places with Christmas trees and everything else. And while you're going to say, well, I'm not praying to Jesus, this is in fact a shirk event. It is not a one God event. It is a shirk event. So you can tell yourself what you want it is, right? And at the end of the day, I know how hard this is. I know how nostalgic it is for people. I know. But at the end of the day, there's things in your life where, like the Muslims that became reverts back in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they gave these practices up. They were afraid to be anywhere near them. I mean, if we're trying to truly follow Islam, look to the best of those who had the same situation and they let it go for Sabilillah. They let it go for Sabilillah. There's a lot of things you're going to have to let go. And in the end, it's going to get easier. Number six, I want you to think outside the box and explore possible compromises. What can we do to show our love and make the holidays less of a conflict? Increase the times you, and this is really helps. I'm telling you, this really, really helps. Increase the times you engage with your family outside of the holidays. They'll feel like they miss you less. Number two, have this alternate holiday. So for example, instead of that, like, hey, you know, next week after Christmas, we're going to meet for a brunch together, this huge brunch. And every year it could be like the end of year brunch. Make something something else big for you guys to look forward to. It really helps. Open your heart on the matter and suggest some types of these new celebrations. You know, it really will help them. Not in the first couple years. I mean, it will by you standing your ground, but I mean, it'll pave the way for this permanent new situation. And you are letting people know what your boundaries are. That's what this conversation really is. It's a matter of boundaries, ladies. It's a matter of boundaries. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything. You know that saying? And if you don't stand for your own religion, who will? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of you. I will see you in the next podcast, but I really want you to think about this. Every time this year comes, you don't have to feel sad. You don't have to feel you're struggling. I want you to look at it as an opportunity for these conversations and to shift. And I would just, like for me, for example, when it comes to all the holiday shopping, I do major shopping by October. I avoid everything big and Christmassy. It's become easier and easier and easier. I don't even have a problem with it anymore. But I know in the beginning how it can be hard when you don't set those boundaries yet. But once you do, believe me, it's incredibly easy. But it takes grit. You're going to be able to do it. You're going to be just fine. It's patience. And just keep asking Allah for help and keep surrounding yourself with people who get you. That's the key. All right. Love you, ladies, for the sake of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.